and the hazy shore. Now, a sigh disturbed him. Profound, final, making him aware that his friend Charles had thrown all the flat stones within reach, or had come to the conclusion that it was not worthwhile to throw them. They ate their sandwiches side by side. When they had done and were shaking themselves and rising to their feet, John took the lump of glass and looked at it in silence. Charles looked at it too, but he saw immediately that it was not flat, and filling his pipe he said with the energy to dismiss a foolish strain of thought, "To return to what I was saying." He did not see, or if he had seen, would hardly have noticed, that John, after looking at the lump for a moment, as if in hesitation, slipped it inside his pocket. That impulse, too, may have been the impulse which leads a child to pick up one pebble on a path strewn with him, promising it a life of warmth and security upon the nursery mantelpiece, delighting in a sense of power and benignity which such an action confers, and believing that the heart of the stone leaps with joy when it sees itself chosen from a million like it, to enjoy this bliss instead of a life of cold and wet upon the high road. It might so easily have been done any other of the millions of stones, but it was I... Whether this thought or not was in John's mind, the lump of glass had its place upon the mantelpiece, where it stood heavy upon a little pile of bills and letters, and served not only as an excellent paperweight, but also as a natural stopping-place for the young man's eyes when they wandered from his book. Looked at again and again, half-consciously, by the mind